This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. It's a Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest and Charles Liddell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock. Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, going to join us here in the 8 o'clock hour as we get you the latest on how the relationship between Deebo Samuel and the 49ers have went sour. He'll give us the ins and outs on that. But right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. How should the Commanders adjust wide receiver coming up this offseason? There are a myriad of different options that they have. We've done a pretty good job between myself, Junks, Grant Danny, B. Mitch and Finley, Toby, the DOC. We've all laid it out, the different ways they can address the position. Which way do you prefer? And one way that they can address it that's become popular here today is Deebo Samuel. Is Deebo Samuel someone that you would be interested in? Myself and Toby said it earlier. If it's, there's a two-parter to that. One, the price matters to me. And then two, I have to have a clear, defined role for him. And then three, that can't be my answer at wide receiver. It can't be, oh yeah, we got Deebo, so now we don't need to address wide receiver with any more marquee names. No, that can't be the way that you look at this thing. If Deebo is a part of your plan at wide receiver, I'm all for it. I'll give you an example here, how I'd address wide receiver. To me, in an ideal world, you sign Deebo Samuel once he gets released. You trade for Cooper Kupp, depending on what the draft capital is, and if LA is willing to eat some of that salary. And then on top of that, you draft a guy, say, with one of your fifth-round picks that you have, and then you bring in a potential bargain bin name like a, I don't know, veteran, like a Robert Woods or a Brandon Cooks or somebody of that nature. Darius Slayton is somebody that I continue to believe would be an ideal fit here in D.C. based on his ability to be able to stretch the field vertically. That's what I think Washington needs. It's not just somebody that can beat man-to-man coverage. It's somebody that can push vertically and acquire attention from defenses. Deami was that last year in a way, down the stretch. But like someone that's more established, someone that can run all of the route trees, someone that's consistent with their hands. And I'm kind of contradicting myself here, because what did I say earlier? It's hard to find good players in free agency, I believe. Good players don't hit free agency. If you're a free agent, something went wrong in your last destination. Because teams don't just let good talent walk out the door. Point blank, period. 1-800-636-1067. For me with T. Higgins, my number one reason why I'm against it is it just eats up too much of your cap at one position. That's really the only reason I'm out on it. If his price tag was lower, I'd be all in. But it's not. So now we sit here and have to wonder, how do you address wideout? The draft is another way you can do it. Field Yates of ESPN mocked Emeka Egbuka to Washington with the number 29 overall pick. I'll say this. Emeka Egbuka is the only guy, and if Luther Burden maybe, I guess if Luther fell to 29, I'd be in on it too. But like Emeka Egbuka is the only guy I would take at 29. Because this wide receiver class, I would say, is kind of top heavy with Teratoa McMillan out of Arizona being the marquee guy. Like that's who is at the top of this thing. I feel like he no chance in hell he falls to you. But like at 29, the only receiver I'd probably draft there is Egbuka. At 29, ideally, I'm hoping one of these badass defensive ends drop to me. And then the other thing is this, as we sit here now, I think it's more likely than not that Washington trades out of the 29th pick. If you had to poll me and shoot me up with Truth Serum right now and ask me, Linnell, what is Washington doing at 29? I don't think they stick and pick. Part of the reason I don't think they stick and pick is because of the capital that they already gave up to acquire Marshawn Lattimore at the deadline. They're behind the eight ball when it comes to picks. This isn't like last year where you had six picks in the top 100. This isn't that. So they have to do their damnedest to try and supplement their draft. And how do you do that? You move back. So I don't know, man. There are a lot of different ways you can slice this thing. I just feel like if you're Washington, the best route is probably a collection of guys, not just one in T. Higgins. What was the analogy I keep using? You're either shopping at Neiman Marcus, which is T. Higgins, or you're going to Fashion Over Men's, which is your Debo's, your Cooper Cups, etc. Fly, but on a budget. 1-800-636-1067. Gabe is in Manassas. What's going on, Gabe?
Hey, how are you, Linnell?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Can you hear me? You are good. You can hear me. Hey, man, I'm listening here to the call tonight to your show, and I mean, you sound like a Skins fan, and I'm a 42-year-old Skins fan, so here's a Commanders fan. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'll say. I could talk about all of it with you, but I'll just go on a little bit. You tell me if you want to hear more or what. But
go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's address the receiver position. All right, here's what I would do. Who doesn't want T. Higgins, right?
Right.
We got the money to do it. I would love to get him. If we can't get him, here's another route we could take, okay? I like the idea of Cooper Kupp, a Super Bowl experienced veteran, to be a great route runner, help out Jaden Daniels and Terry, and he's not going to outshine Terry anyway, so that's a great addition. For the Chiefs, you can get Debo as well. With his gadget plays, that would help out the running game with B-Rob. Okay, and you can use him at receiver as well as part of the crew. Terry, Cooper Kupp, Debo, and then here's what I like on the draft. There's a guy in Oregon, Tez Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Fast guy, great character, reminds me a lot of Terry McLaurin. He's going right now at the bottom of top 29 in the receiver group. Or 12, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly the rankings, but I like him a lot. He would be someone that we could get in the draft. Another thing we need to do is address O-line. We need some monsters. Philly, what they did with these big offensive linemen and the big defensive linemen, they got monsters on their lines. And I can't remember what Doc Walker calls them. I think he calls them, what does he call them? What do you usually call them? Big uglies or something like that?
The biggins up front, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. We need monsters on the line. Let's
I agree.
Keep it real. There was one offensive lineman that we could draft. So I can't remember the Emerson.
Emory Jones out of LSU. He's more of a guard. But, Gabe, I appreciate the call as always. Yeah, I think to Gabe's point, and I said this the day after the Super Bowl. Wow. This is so crazy. The Super Bowl was just this past weekend. Why does it feel like it was so long ago? I was about to say, yeah, I said it last week after the Super Bowl. No, it was Monday, buddy. But I think it's very clear the way this offseason should go. You are now in a position where all of your moves, in my opinion, should be geared towards unseating Philadelphia as the top-tier team in the conference. That is what all of your moves should be dictated towards. And the way that they dominated up front against Kansas City in the Super Bowl, signing guys up front or drafting guys up front is where – my focus would be. And I continue to say it like this. To me, in free agency, you go out and address your needs. Edge rusher, offensive line. And then so when you get to the draft, you can go best player available. And I said it a moment ago, I'll say it again if you didn't pick up what I was putting down. As we sit here on Valentine's Day, I'm closer in leaning towards them trading out of 29 than them sticking and picking. But obviously it's going to depend on who's on the board at that point. If an edge rusher that they're high on falls to that spot, if a tackle that they're high on falls to that spot, if a corner that they're high on falls to that spot, then they probably do it. If a tackle or a defensive end falls there, then I'm with it. But more times than not, man, like, Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, somebody that I really respect when it comes to the draft, tweeted out about a couple of weeks ago, 20 through 60 in this class mirror each other in terms of talent. You can get the same type of talent at pick 60 as you can get at pick 20. So with that being the case, like, that's the sweet spot in the draft where you want to allocate as many picks as possible. And with that logic, I think Adam Peters and company trade back. What say you, man? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. How should the Commanders address the wide receiver position? And then you can also chew on this. It's Valentine's Day. Think about this long and hard. What is something that you love to do, or somebody that you love, that you'd be willing to trade for a Commanders Super Bowl? Your calls on all that and more coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, NBC Sports Bay Area insider Matt Maiocca going to join the show and give us the latest on why the relationship between Debo and the Niners have soured, as he requested a trade earlier this offseason. And then today, we were made privy to the news that if they can't find a trade partner, they most likely are going to designate him as a post-June 1 cut, a.k.a. now no one's going to trade for him. So Debo Samuel more than likely has played his last down with the San Francisco 49ers. Would he be a logical option for you here in Washington as they try to revamp their receiving core outside of Terry McLaurin? McLaurin and McCaffrey, talking about Luke McCaffrey, Washington's third-round draft pick from this past season, the only two wideouts under contract going into next year. Matt Bowen of ESPN wants the Commanders to sign T. Higgins. A lot of people want the Commanders to sign T. Higgins. Ben Solak of ESPN predicted that Washington would outbid the rest of the market for T. Higgins services, because you got to find a way to upgrade this wide receiver spot. If it's not T. Higgins, if it's not Debo Samuel, how would you want to address it? 1-800-636-1067. If we've got it ready, former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson, got a chance to sit down with him. He gave his thoughts on how he would address wide receiver if he was in charge in D.C.
If you were Washington, what is your mentality trying to address wideout this offseason?
Yeah, I agree with you, I think. I think when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, and he did what he did this year, I think the number one thing is to kind of help insulate some of his weaknesses. And so, to me, I think he did a great job of maximizing the receiving group. And I think those guys did an excellent job, like OZ, Noah Brown, Deami Brown, you know, Jamison Crowder. Everyone kind of took turns stepping up in that role. And I think it shows you that if you get the right people in here, competitive, hardworking professionals, like, you can make it work with a guy like Jaden Daniels, and plus having Terry. I think the one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is, again, Zach Ertz had an historic season, in my opinion, and we saw what makes him so special, and we saw why he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. But I'm worried about his dip in production. You know, he's 34 years old. Like, to me, that's more of a concern, is like, who's going to pick up that production if Zach is less than 100% or suffers an injury, right? That was such a big piece of the offense on third down, red zone situations, having that person that can win consistently versus man-to-man coverage. And I talked to Santana Moss about this, and he was like, it could be a tight end or it could be a receiver, but I do think you need to find somebody, again, who is a go-to target in those man-to-man situations. And so that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, again, free agency and the draft, to kind of get this football team better.
Yeah, that is former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. And look, I think he puts a different spin on this in terms of what the necessity is. It's not necessarily a number two wide receiver. It's someone opposite of Terry that can consistently beat man-to-man coverage. That is why there was such a clamoring for Brandon Ayuk last year, because that quite literally is what he specializes in, beating man-to-man coverage. But the same way I felt about Ayuk, the same way I felt about Higgins, man, I just think it's irresponsible to allocate that much of your cap to one position, specifically being wide receiver. 1-800-636-1067. How would you address the wide receiver position if you were the Washington Commanders? Jesse is in Alexandria. What's going on, Jesse?
Hey, man, you took my call last night. I appreciate it. You took my call again tonight.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate it again. Honestly, dude, I am on the exact same wavelength as you. And I also really appreciate you putting it in perspective and breaking it down, how much cap space you would have left if we spent $30 million on one guy.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It's too much. And I'm also on the same wavelength as you about the draft and seeing us trading it back. But to answer your question, I think if we were to bring back one guy, I think based on his postseason, it would either be De'Ami Brown, or based on his regular season before he got hurt, it'd be Noah Brown. And then we got to sign, we draft one or two guys, and we signed one or two guys. I really liked that dude in Tennessee, Westbrook.
Nick Westbrook scored a touchdown against us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he scored a touchdown against us. I would like to see us sign one or two guys like that, and then draft one or two guys. And then just like they've been saying, it's a competition. Best dog wins, all right?
Yep.
So I'm going to keep it short and sweet again like I did last night. Hey, appreciate you taking
Jesse,
the call,
I appreciate
man.
You tapping in as always, my man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I question the IQ of this fan base a lot, but it seems like with this topic, you all are on the right page, man. We're kind of all on the same page. Now, there's some of you out there that say, oh, the hell with it. Spend all your money on T. Higgins. And I get your energy and where you're coming from. It would be different if we didn't have Terry, bro. Like that would be the difference. And here's the other thing that I continue to say. And Toby, I wanted to get your thoughts on this too, because maybe you view it differently. Maybe I'm simplifying it too much. I look at the four horsemen in the National Football League at the position. Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Josh Allen. Do either of those two have two bona fide number one wide receivers? Either of those guys?
No.
You don't need it. Jaden is, to me, the type of quarterback that elevates everyone around him. You saw what he got out of Alameda Zacchaeus and Jamison Crowder. Imagine if it was Darius Slayton and Brandon Cooks. Like, you upgrade a little bit is all you need. And when you got a guy that good at the position, you don't need two number ones.
The one thing that you could say on the opposite side of this is you can make it work when you've got two guys with the rookie contract. Pat Mahomes had it for a little while with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Joe Burrow's had it with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. That looks like that day is done. You can do it while the quarterback's on the rookie contract, but you don't have to. You know, teams evolve. And if you want to go about that way, I think it's fine. But to your earlier point, do you really want to pay Terry 30-plus and then say, let's go ahead and add T? Because that's essentially what the Bengals are running into, but they've already paid their quarterback. So I don't know that that's what you want to do. You know, if you want to go wide receiver at 29 or you want to draft one in the second and third round, I think that's better considering the issue was not the offense necessarily in the NFC Championship game.
No.
You gave up a ton of points.
And if you're going to say, if you're going to point to an issue offensively, right, you would say it's Milton Williams and Jalen Carter game wrecking, pushing Nick Allegretti back, pushing Trent Scott and Chris Paul back. That's where I think the upgrades really need to happen, especially when you consider there's probably no Sam Cosby for the first month of the season. So I think the emphasis on adding an offensive lineman is heightened because of that. So we'll see how they do it. James is in D.C. wants to tap in. What's going on, James?
Big brother, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing good. So I know you are a smart man when it comes to the football. So I'm kind of on the same page, but if we all think about it, we average 28.5 points a game with Terry and some also-rans on the field, right? So if we say, listen, we're talking about catching Philadelphia, we really got to focus on that defensive line, obviously. And I think we need to get away from this T. Higgins stuff. I love T. Higgins.
So I get like that point, said. James. How would you address it, though, if it's not T?
And so, listen, we do know Debo and Cooper Kupp are both going to get cut. They're not – nobody's going to trade for them.
Yeah.
I would wait for that. I would in the draft, find a receiver, supposedly in the middle of the draft, there's some good receivers. But also, what about that home run running back we need? You know, I think that helps out the receivers as well. You know, everybody pushed up on the line because we didn't have that home run running back. And so I think we look at it differently and we want to spend our money properly. We got to fix the defensive line because, you know, when you put pressure on Jaden up the middle or off the sides, he's going to for Philadelphia, he's going to throw the ball away. And so we got to focus on that part. Again, T. Higgins is a dream for all of us, but if we talk about it, we average 28 points a game. We were number 7 offense in the league, man. So we got to tweak that. I think it includes a running back. I think that we got to figure out some lesser-ran receivers.
For sure. Appreciate the call, as always. Yeah, look, running back is a must for me. There was an article, VR Pals at Hogshaven, talking about potential cap casualties, and Brian Robinson saves you, I think it's $3 million against the cap. Here's my thing about the running back position, and I know we're going all over the place here, in Washington. When you have a running quarterback like Jaden Daniels, the running backs are supposed to benefit from it. Look at Saquon in Philadelphia. Look at Derrick Henry in Baltimore. Look at James Cook in Buffalo. Did our running backs benefit from Jaden Daniels? No. But is it because the running backs aren't good? Or did this offensive line not create holes? And I think it's a lot of both. Let's just be real here. Tyler Biadasz, once he got hurt, down the stretch, he struggled. Nick Allegretti was hit and miss all year long. Somebody that I would be eager to replace next year up front, but you may not be able to just because you got so many other needs. Do you kick Brandon Coleman inside to guard? Well, if you're able to get a true legit tackle prospect at 29, maybe you consider doing that. But all in all, man, I think it's interesting. There are so many, I don't want to say so many holes, but there are a lot of different ways you could upgrade this offense, and another pass catcher for sure has got to be a priority. Butch is in D.C. What's going on, Butch?
Hey, man, I've been listening to you for a while. I'm happy you finally started talking football and not shining toys. Right? Y'all in this wide receiver, what are we going to do with wide receiver? Let's get educated as football fans, man, and stop talking about shiny toys, man. Like the best call you just had was a dude that just called. He told you, we average 28 points. That don't say you go out and drop kill the bank over wide receivers. Now, look at what we did with the running game, which you just touched on. We don't have a breakaway running back. We don't have a running back to understand what a jump cut is. If you go back and look at Brian Robinson's tape from college, he doesn't have one highlight reel that ever shows him finding the hole with a jump cut. He's a straight line runner. We need a running back. Now, once you solidify that running back, it makes the offensive line better. It makes all the wide receivers better. You can go get somebody like a DK Metcalf, right? We need a big body wide receiver. We don't need anybody that fits the frame of what we already have. We need a big body wide receiver you can run a slant to. They can box them out, make that slant, make those tough contested catches and still have speed. DK Metcalf would be who I'd be looking for to trade. Someone with a body type like that. I don't need a Higgins that's injured as much as he plays.
Yeah, I hear right? you. So the only thing I would say about DK is $24 million per, but I guess with Jaden on the rookie deal, you can afford that. So
and DK brings you a lot. Like Debo.
But DK's a diva. The only thing I wonder is, can DK assimilate to this culture?
But you don't hear anything about DK in the locker room, on the sidelines. Debo Samuels doesn't have any breakaway speed anymore. That dude is too small. We don't need him. That's not going to help us. Cooper Kupp is injury prone, and he's old. You're bringing in two possession wide receivers because you know their name.
I think the reason Cooper Kupp is attractive is because he's got a history of consistently beating man-to-man coverage, and he blocks his ass off in the running game.
He's got a history of being old and injured. It was unseated by a rookie, which means a good general manager found a rookie that would replace him, and then you want to get somebody's old used car and go, remember what he used to be. No.
I'm reminiscing on a Valentine's Day night. But that's why. But you realize, though, in the role that they be bringing Cooper Kupp in, he's your wide receiver three. He's someone that on third down is going to be able to get open when you're in those man-to-man coverage situations. That's what I think Washington needs.
A good general manager can find that with somebody on a rookie deal with more speed.
But you know wide receiver is not a position that you're guaranteed to come in and have instant success at. Look at Luke McCaffrey.
We got to look at Adam Peters.
That's
look
true.
At what Adam Peters has done in the past places.
I give you that.
We're talking about our own Redskin regime. And all these people you're naming like Debo and all of them, Peters found people like that when they were young and had no names. You didn't know who they were. Now we want to pay for them now that they're named and old. That's that old Redskin stuff, man. Let Adam Peters and the scouts do their job. Bring in young talent.
Butch, I appreciate the call as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067. Matt Maiocca, NBC Bay Area, joins us next to give us the latest on why Debo and the Niners are headed towards a divorce. That's next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock here tonight. Right now, we'll continue our conversation surrounding 49ers wide receiver Debo Samuel, with one of my favorites covering all things Niners, Matt Maiocca of NBC Sports Bay Area, season number 30 covering the old 49ers, one of the best in the business. Matt, I appreciate you giving us some time, my friend.
Always my pleasure, Lionel.
One thing that we have been discussing here locally, obviously, for the Commanders is how they can find a reliable number two wide receiver to go opposite of Terry McLaurin, and it's been reported by several folks in the Bay Area that Deebo Samuel has requested a trade. That is something that happened a couple of weeks ago. The latest is that, you know, the 49ers may just designate him as a post-June 1 cut. I guess to put it in layman's terms, Matt, how did we get to this point?
Well, it's something that's kind of been in the making for a while. The 49ers restructured his contract last year, and they kind of created that possibility that they could move on from him by making him designate him as a post-June 1 cut. And then, you know, throughout the season, you know, when I was talking to people, it was very much up in the air whether he'd be back in 2025 or not. And then when I asked John Lynch, the general manager, about it right after the season, he seemed to have kind of dug his heels in and said, no, you know, Deebo Samuel will be on the team. We're not in the business of giving away really good football players, and Deebo Samuel has a track record with the 49ers. But in a lot of ways, though, I think Deebo Samuel made it easy on the 49ers in the sense that it was a difficult decision from their standpoint whether to keep him or whether to move on from him. But when he tells them that he doesn't want to be back, that he would like to be traded and would like to carry on with his career somewhere else, I think the 49ers are in a position now where they almost have to grant that wish. You don't want somebody who doesn't want to be on the team. You don't want to keep him there against his will, in essence. And this isn't the first time Deebo Samuel has requested a trade. Back in 2022, when he was up for a new contract, he did that. But I think that was a negotiating ploy, and he ultimately got the big contract that he wanted. But I think this is different, that you know, his production did fall last year. The 49ers did kind of signal their intention when they signed Brandon Ayuk to a long-term extension, and then they draft Ricky Pearsall as well, wide receiver in the first round. And then through all of that, the guy who had been their number three receiver all along was their top wide receiver last year, Juwan Jennings. So it comes at a cost on the salary cap, but I do think that it's probably best for all sides at this point if the 49ers and Deebo Samuel do in their union and he's playing for some other team next season.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff, man. I can't believe we've gotten here this quickly with this whole thing, Matt. From Debo's perspective, and obviously you get to be around him and cover him on a day-to-day basis, did it seem like throughout the season where, you know, San Francisco had a lot of injuries and they were kind of out of it at a certain point, did he seem disgruntled then? Is this something that you were kind of forecasting in terms of how it's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think he didn't seem real happy last season. And, you know, his production did drop quite a bit, both as a receiver and also in that role where he's a ball carrier as well. I mean, his average per carry last year dropped to 3.2 yards, and he had career lows in receptions per game and receiving yards per game. He expressed some discontent throughout the season, you know, wishing he got more opportunities. I don't know that was necessarily an issue, because he did feel like they were targeting him a lot. But, you know, he plays hard. You know, he's a guy that in a lot of ways has kind of defined this mini era of 49ers football, just with, you know, his hard charging style, his yards after the catch, his ability to line up all over the formation and make plays both as a receiver and as a runner. He's very good going up against zone coverage, not as good against man coverage. So, you know, he'll have to find a spot that has a plan for him. And, you know, whether he can be that same guy that's carrying the ball, you know, 60 times a year or something like that and catching 60 or 70 passes remains to be seen. But I would anticipate there will be some teams that want him. The question is, how much does a team want him? You know, when he's able to talk to another team, which the 49ers have granted him permission to do, you know, what's that contract going to look like? Because I would assume he'll have to come up with a contract agreement with his new team, and then that team can get to work with hammering out the compensation with the 49ers. But at this point, you know, it could be a trade, or it could be just the 49ers at some point decide that it's best to move on with that post-June 1 designation, because it would soften the blow on the salary cap if they were to do that. Instead of $31 million accelerating to this 2025 cap, they can spread that out over 2 years if they release him with the post-June 1 designation.
So Matt, you've obviously been doing this for a long time, my friend, and I'm a big fan of your work. You know how this stuff goes. How did it get to, well, we're giving Debo the opportunity to seek a trade partner, to now potentially a post-June 1 designation? Is that a reflection of the type of offers maybe that they've been getting for his services, or is the market dried up for him?
Well, I just think that he has an option bonus due on March 22nd of $15 million.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not sure that another team, you know, would just inherit that contract and just, you know, be moving along and also pay the 49ers a price to acquire him. And he does have just the 1 year left on his deal. So there are a lot of moving parts with this, and I don't think it's a slam dunk that a team's going to just pick up that contract. In fact, I would say a team probably won't. They'll have to work out some deal on the side for, you know, that's contingent on the trade going through. So like I said, I mean, there are a lot of different ways this thing can play out, as far as, you know, a trade or the possibility that the 49ers could release him with some salary cap benefits coming this year and then, you know, taking on the bulk of that prorated money next year on the cap. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways how this thing can play out right now.
Yeah, it seems like it, man. That's why I'm like, well, how do we go from point A to point B? Because it all feels like it's happening so fast. And because the first whispers of this was kind of during the postseason, we've kind of sat on it for a little bit.
What happened was, you know, when they had their postseason exit meetings, all the players, you know, met with John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan, or in some cases both. Debo Samuel has a really good relationship with Kyle Shanahan, and it was during that exit meeting that Debo said, you know what, I think I want to move on. I think it's in the best interest of both sides if I'm with another team. Now, when I asked John Lynch the questions about Debo two days after the season was over, 3 days after, it was on the Wednesday after the season, he's the one who answered. John Lynch was the one who answered those questions about, you know, Debo's has a track record. He's done a lot of good things with the 49ers. All that's true. And then he said, you know, we're not in the business of giving away good players. Meanwhile, Kyle Shanahan, who had already had that conversation with Debo Samuel about about Debo's request to be traded, Kyle didn't say a word. And, you know, those two do have a really close relationship. They talk quite regularly. So it was a difficult position, I think, for both guys to be in, but Debo Samuel felt comfortable to have that conversation with Kyle Shanahan. And now I think that it probably does serve both sides best if things kind of come to an end and Debo Samuel moves on. Now, at the same time, the grass isn't always greener.
Right.
And Debo Samuel did have a good thing going with the 49ers, but you just kind of got the sense being around Debo last year that he was just ready for something new, that it got a little bit old. And I think it would probably rejuvenate him a little bit to get a fresh start.
Joined right now by Matt Maiocca of NBC Sports Bay Area. You can give him a follow on the old X app at Maiocca NBCS. Matt, you wrote a couple of days ago a piece, you know, talking about some teams that could potentially be interested in Debo. That, to me, is what's going to kind of impact the compensation that San Francisco gets in return and how much that asking price is going to be. Because, as you mentioned, would I be accurate in describing him as like a niche player at this point? I don't view him as your traditional wide receiver three or slot guy. It seems like they really found a role that he was able to thrive in, and I think that's helped maximize his value. Looking at a team like Washington, for example, Matt, with the obvious tie to Adam Peters, do you see them potentially being interested? I can speak from this angle, saying I know Cliff Kingsbury can carve out a role for him. What do you think of that type of move?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is definitely one of the teams that kind of would, you know, perk my ears up as far as where Deebo Samuel could be going because of Adam Peters. You know, Adam Peters was with the 49ers organization through most of, you know, Deebo Samuel's time here. You know, second round pick in 2019, Adam Peters was John Lynch's right hand man and really in tune with the college draft. And the 49ers had, they coached that Senior Bowl and coached Deebo Samuel there. That's where they got to know him. And so he knows what he can bring to the table when he's playing at a high level. I mean, the way he plays the game of football, of course, it has a great impact on the 49ers offense with the running game and the passing element, but also, you know, the way he's just, you know, like I call him just kind of a hard charging kind of player,
who raging
doesn't
bull.
Turn down a hit. You know, he has an impact on the defense too. You know, those defensive guys are watching from the sideline and they get fired up watching Deebo play. So he does bring a lot. The question is, you know, has he taken too many hits and is he slowing down at a rapid pace at this point? So, you know, I do think that whoever gets him, they're going to get a motivated player because, you know, he's going to be wanting to earn his future contract and he's going to want to show that there's more left in the tank. You know, the one of the hallmarks of Deebo Samuel as a player was that it was just difficult, almost impossible for the first person to bring him down. Yeah. Last year, it wasn't. He had a really good game late in the season at the Miami Dolphins where he showed those flashes, but he's got to show that more. And the team that goes after him will be hoping that that player that showed up against Miami is the player that they get for 17 games and the postseason next year.
So that segues this perfectly because, you know, obviously when situations like this come up, there's always going to be the negative side of it where people begin to, you know, throw out rumors and narratives surrounding a guy's work ethic and whether or not he's in shape or not. I'm sure you've read those tea leaves as they've continued to kind of, you know, become louder here as this situation kind of comes to a close. But as far as why the production slipped and why last year went the way that it went, is it lack of opportunity? Do you think he's just had too much wear and tear? Is he a guy that's getting older, or do you buy some of the rumors that maybe he didn't come in the best shape?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the 49ers drafted him, and even before that, Will Muschamp, who was the coach at South Carolina at the time, he's very honest with all teams who asked him about Deebo. I mean, he had a lot of glowing things to say about Deebo Samuel as the performer, but did say, you got to watch him in the off season. He tends to get a little bit out of shape. Did that play into it? It might have. He also had a bout with pneumonia that ended up, he spent a couple nights in the hospital early in the season.
Yeah,
and so I do think that kind of wore at him a little bit as well as far as keeping his strength up. So I just think there were a lot of different issues. Also, you know, he didn't have the luxury of also having Christian McCaffrey on offense,
right,
and Brandon Ayuk on offense, guys that can draw coverage to them, guys that open it up for other guys. So yeah, I think there were a lot of factors at play of why his production slipped last year. But, you know, ultimately, Juwan Jennings was thrust into a starting role, and he put up the number one receiver types of numbers from the 49ers offense. So I do think that any team that acquires Deebo Samuel isn't going to be looking at him as their number one receiver, but I think they can look at it as a really good chess piece, a guy who's good against zone coverage, finding those openings, catching the ball on the run, getting yards after the catch, forcing defensive backs to make a business decision. And then also just, you know, not necessarily the gimmick play, but, you know, giving the offensive coordinator more flexibility to use different kinds of schemes and styles and lining him up in the backfield. I mean, you see how he's built. You know, he looks a lot more like a running back,
yeah.
Just body-wise, yeah, than he does as a wide receiver. So I think any team that acquires him will want to use him in the way that the 49ers have used him and used him quite successfully for the better part of six seasons.
We'll segue here quickly, my friend, as we'll let you go here. I appreciate you giving us some time. And you got to cover Adam Peters, obviously, up close and personal for a number of years. Washington viewed as a team with the third most salary cap room in the National Football League this offseason as someone who should be aggressive. When you think of the track record of John Lynch and Kyle and Adam all being a part of that, you know, cocktail that helped construct one of the best rosters in the NFC over the past several years, how do you anticipate him maneuvering this offseason with Washington with all of the salary cap space that they have? And then there's also the issue of them having 29 unrestricted free agents. Like, do you expect him to be aggressive?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, the one thing, kind of the hallmark of the 49ers is they were aggressive. They have been aggressive. Yeah. You know, they traded for Christian McCaffrey. They traded for Chase Young, you know, kind of a deal that kind of came out of nowhere. They, at a time when nobody really expected them to pay for any free agents, they went out and got Javon Hargrave. So they are aggressive, and I would expect Adam Peters to, you know, continue to build that defensive front. I would expect that to be an emphasis. If you can get 9 defensive linemen active on game days and you come at the opposition in waves, that's a big deal. Also, you know, continuing to build the offensive line and giving Jaden Daniels some help, both as far as protection and outlets to either hand the ball off to or throw to. So I would see those being, you know, a couple of the areas where Adam Peters will continue to try to address.
And then lastly, I'll let you go on this, my friend. Talanoa Hufanga and Dre Greenlaw, what type of market, or Tre'Davious Ward as well, what type of market do you expect for those guys?
Yeah, it'll be interesting with Greenlaw especially. Yeah. You know, he's coming off the injury, tore the Achilles in the Super Bowl a year and a couple weeks ago. And he didn't really get on the field much. He played one half of one game, and that Achilles was still barking at him. And so it'll be just interesting to see what kind of market is out there for him. If he has to sign a 1-year deal, kind of a prove it deal, 49ers definitely want him back. Hufanga, also a restricted or unrestricted free agent who missed a great deal of the season last year as he was coming back from the Achilles, from the torn ACL from the previous year. So again, it'll be, I'm really curious to see what the market holds for both of those guys. And then Tre'Davious Ward dealt with personal tragedy, losing his daughter during the season. He's a really good player. And I think he's really determined and, you know, he's looking for a bounce back year. He's a good player. And I don't think he's coming back to the 49ers. So I think the 49ers will make a big play to bring back Greenlaw. I think Hufanga, it can go either way. And then Ward, I would be shocked if the 49ers are able to bring him back. So, yeah, those are three, you know, win healthy. and when everything's going right, those are three really good defensive players that are on the market.
Yeah, hopefully Adam Peters can use his relationships and bring some of that talent down here to the East Coast. Matt, I appreciate you giving me some time as always, my man. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
That is Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, covering the 49ers for the last 30 seasons. Toby, me and you weren't even thought about when old Matt Maiocco started on the 49ers beat, man. He mentioned Tre'Davious Ward as a guy that is, you know, probably very unlikely to return to that team. If there's somebody that I'm spending big money on in a position that I'm spending big money on, I would give Tre'Davious Ward the bag. I'd also give DJ Reed the bag as well, man. We'll see. You know who else I'd give the bag? Myles Garrett. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll discuss how the Commanders could potentially land Myles Garrett. And ESPN NFL insider Bill Barnwell gave out his best fit for Myles Garrett. Does he like the star edge rusher here in our nation's capital? Let you know that next on The Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.